Hallelujah. Hallelujah this morning, God. Highest praise to you, Father. Highest praise, God. Highest praise to you this morning, Father, of hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. The Lord is our light and our salvation. This morning, whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? Nothing. No one. Because you're God. Because besides you, there's no other. Because you, O God, have made us and not we ourselves. We worship you this morning. And we want to worship you this morning, God, in the beauty of holiness. We thank you for this day, God, this hour, God. We thank you for the people everywhere, Father. And we are praying this morning, God, for right now, right set, man. New minds, oh God. New thoughts, oh God. New living, oh God, in you and through you, Father. We are praying this morning, God, to open our ears, that we may hear what thus says the Lord this morning. Oh God, we love you this morning. We appreciate you this morning. We thank you for this time, oh God. This time of worship. This time of praise. This time of study. This time of learning more of you. And more of how to be like you. We bless you, God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, people of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, give God a praise with me this morning. Hallelujah. God is great, and he is greatly to be praised. Oh, my goodness. He is greatly to be praised. You know, God is an awesome, mighty God. And there's so much that we don't know about God, but there's a whole lot that he has allowed us to know about him. And one of the things we know about him is that he wants us to learn more of him. His word reminds us to study to show ourselves approved, workmen unto God, that we might not be ashamed, but we will be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Do you know God wants us to study his word? He wants us to know more about him. Oh my gosh. And I'm telling you, when you get into the word of God and you begin to dissect that thing and the Holy Spirit begins to intervene, oh my gosh, and the revelations begin to come and you just know who God is, how God is, what God is able to do and what God will do. All of that is in the word of God. And we give him glory this morning. Come on, give me a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise this morning. Oh my gosh. Old song we're going to sing this morning. We're going to worship this morning on this old tune, a favorite of my mama's and a favorite of mine. Thank you, Lord.
Watch ye, therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away.
Yeah.
If you... you shall wear a golden crown.
Somebody knows that one.
Watch ye, therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall.
Yeah. Oh, when he call your soul away. If you labored, yeah.
You shall wear a golden crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds. I shall.
Oh, I remember the sisters singing that. I can see my Aunt Nene clapping right now.
Golden crown. I shall wear a crown.
How many of you gonna wear your crown?
When the trumpet sounds, Yeah, God.
I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. Soon as my feet strike Zion. Oh, yeah. But I put on my robe and shout to tell my story. I can see Jesus. Tell him all about my troubles. Put on my robe and glory. Shout to tell him my story. I can see Jesus. Tell him all about my troubles. Put on my robe and glory. Shout to tell him my story.
Yeah. Tell him about it. Tell him about it.
Glory. Shout to tell them my story.
Yeah. Mama wearing her crown. Yeah.
I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown.
Watch this.
Soon as my feet strike Zion.
Oh, lay down the more heavy burden.
Put on my robe and glory. Shout to tell him my story. Soon as I can see Jesus.
Tell him all about somebody praising him right now. Come on, come on, come on.
Shout to tell him my story. I can see Jesus. Tell him all about.
Oh, yeah.
Glory. Shout to tell him my story.
Oh, yeah.
Troubles put on my robe and glory. Shout to tell him my story. Golden crown.
Come on, one more time.
Shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When,
oh, yeah.
When the trumpet sounds, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah, God. Yes, God. I shall wear a golden crown. Oh, hallelujah this morning, God. Hallelujah this morning, Father. Hallelujah this morning, Son. Hallelujah this morning, Holy Spirit. Come on, come on, come on. Send up some hearts out there for him. Come on, get up. Oh, God. Come on, somebody. I shall wear a golden crown soon as my feet strike Zion. Oh, God, lay down my what? Heavy burden. You don't have to worry about this world anymore. Amen. Oh, we praise God this morning. Amen. Good morning, people of God. Good morning, Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're rejoicing. We're glad in it. We bless the Lord, oh, our souls, and all that is within us. Amen. Living in excellence, we what? We walk in expectation. Living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Good morning. Amen. Good morning. This morning, we've got the word lined up for you this morning. We've got a teaching word coming. Amen. We're just excited about what God is going to do. We're more excited about what you're going to receive from the Lord this morning. Amen. Listen, when we were in the building, before we were on the air and we were doing all that, every fourth Sunday at Rhema was Sunday study time. Somebody say it's Sunday study time. And oh my God, we're just going to allow Elder to come and he's going to bring the word through teaching. And we want you to receive that word. Amen. So as the man of God prepares to come, we want you to make sure you got your Bibles, got you a pen or a pencil. You can take some notes, but I'm telling you, you're getting ready to be enlightened in the word of God. This is our Sunday study period. Amen. Sunday study. It's Sunday study time. I want you to prepare as Elder is going to come. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And I'll be back in a little while.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, we got a day for you today. We've got some training going on today. Amen. You know, many of us know how to read the Bible, but very few of us need to know how to understand the Word of God. There's a lot in it. There's a lot in it. And that's what we're going to take care of today, making sure that people understand how to read the Word of God. We've got a lot of technical things going on today, so I pray that everything will be all right. And let's see, we'll do some adjustment. There we go. All right, now y'all can see me just a little bit better. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and open up with prayer before we begin our study on the inductive study process. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to talk to your people, to teach your people the Word, oh God. We ask, oh Father, that the Holy Spirit be anointing in this place, Lord, that he would touch the spirit of those who would hear the Word, touch the hearts of those who would understand it, Lord God, and touch your ears, oh Father, that those who need to hear your Word, oh God, and understand. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you do a search on the internet or anywhere else for the top 10 books in the world, you're most likely to come up and find out the Bible is among them. In fact, in most cases, you'll find out the Bible will be listed as number one. Well, why? Why is that? Well, the Bible is a fascinating book filled with a lot of gripping stories and a lot of challenges and exhortations on things. It's just a wonderful book. People read it because it is an important book dealing with life, God, eternal life, death, love, sin, and morals. It answers the questions like, who am I? Where am I going? Is there life after death? And what's my purpose? And people read because they believe that in the Bible, the Word of God speaks to them through these written words. The Bible encourages us, it lifts us up, it corrects us, it builds us, gives us hope, and brings us close to our living God. Some parts of the Bible, of course, are very easy to understand because it's written so that everyone understands it. Many of us, though, find that reading the Bible is difficult. Why? Because we don't know what to look for. Most Christians who read the Bible desire to understand all of God's words, not just the easy parts, but all of it. We depend on our pastors to deliver word to us or our elders to speak to us and to help us decipher the word. But the Bible is written so that everyone can understand the word. Just by reading it and getting into details and understanding what God has to say. Those who are serious about studying God's word want to be able to dig deeper into the word, wanting to see more, to understand more of the biblical texts. Our Sunday studies for the next few months, and Pastor mentioned it, we'll do it on the fourth Sunday, will help us do just that. It'll help us to see more, understand more, and discover more of God's Word. And that's our title for today. Discover God's Word. Notice that it doesn't say discovering God's words. It gives a statement, discover God's words. Why? Because then it asks a question, how? How do we discover the Word of God? We're going to be looking at a process called the inductive study process in the next several lessons. Today we're going to talk about the interpretive journey. And it's really going to be interesting when you understand the process, and it's just so simple. And when you finally understand that process, then the Bible becomes less threatening in its reading. Our scriptures today come from the book of 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 15th verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The English Standard Version says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Amen. The process of interpreting and grasping the Bible is similar to embarking on a journey. The interpretive journey, is what we're going to call it, is a five-step process. Well, I need to make sure that you understand that as I guide you through the inductive study process. We'll talk about steps. We'll talk about process. However, when you are actually doing your study, it becomes totally fluent. It all flows together. And as you begin to do it more and more, it becomes to become a habit. And as it becomes a habit, more and more that the Holy Spirit can speak to you and tell you God's words, and you will be able to discover His word for yourself. Reading the text thoroughly and carefully lies at the beginning of the journey. When we begin to do this from this careful reading, we determine that we are able to determine the meaning of the biblical context. Well, what does that mean, biblical context? Now, that's what is meant to the biblical audience, those people who were back in those days. The Word of God was written for a specific people at a specific time and a specific place, brought to them by a specific person. We need to understand that as we read the Word of God, because as we take this journey, we have to move from one point to another. That's a journey. When we try to apply it directly to ourselves, we run into all sorts of problems. It works this way. We are separated from the biblical audience by culture, customs, language, situation, and a vast expanse of time. These differences form a barrier like a river that separates us from the text, and it often stops us from getting the meaning of the text for ourselves, because we don't understand this river that we have to cross. Any attempt to interpret this and apply the Bible directly, is always going to be crossing this river. Well, while many of us are unconscious of our own interpretive method of study, for instance, how many of you have picked up the Word of God and you said, I want to study the Word of God today, so I'm going to open it up and close my eyes and point at a chapter, and God will reveal to me what it is that I'm to study. This type of method, and I have myself personally used it many years ago, but I have. This method is nothing more than intuitive, and it feels right approach to interpretation. That intuitive, feels right approach to interpretation is not the best for us, and it will often lead us to a misinterpretation of God's words, and that's not what we're to do. If it looks as if it could be applied directly in our life or someone's life, then we attempt to make it fit, and that's not the way God wrote His word. Let me point out another thing to you. Many of you have written letters, those who used to pick up pen and paper. Nowadays we do it with text and now with email. But nonetheless, when we express ourselves in writing to someone, we have a specific reason for that. And we want to get a specific idea or thought across to those people that we write to. Well, God didn't do anything different. He did the same thing. He chose several people to bring His word to the people, to the masses, to teach them, to get them to understand who He is. Says His love letter to us is this Bible. This is His love letter. So don't you think that He had specific meaning for what He wanted to put in the Bible for us to read, not for us to interpret in a meaning that was not intended? So we need to keep that in mind as we read through the text of the Bible. Keep in mind now, our goal is to grasp the meaning of the text of God's word as it is intended. We're not to create meaning. Rather, we are to discover the meaning that was already put in there for us. Let me put it this way. Those individuals who misinterpreted your letter, you had to get them straight. That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. Well, it's time to begin our journey. It's an exciting journey. It is not for the faint of heart. I have to warn you, it's one that requires hard work, but it ends in discovering God's word. Ends in discovering God's word. We're going to go through the first part of the inductive study process, and we're going to look at each one of the steps and what it entails. And we're going to relate this to crossing a river so you can understand what it's a very simple process. And when I explain it to you, you're going to say, is that all it was all about? Yes, it was. Well, the first part is to, in step one, is to read the text carefully and observe the details. I cannot tell you how important reading the details is and reading. When you first begin to read, try to see as much as possible. You look, and you look again, observing all that you can see. Be observant. Scrutinize the grammar. Analyze all significant words. Well, we're going to cover that later, and I'm going to show you how to look for those words. But they are very important. Study historical and literary context. Is that important? Sure it is. It gives you background into what you're reading. How does your passage relate to one that precedes it and one that follows it? That's context, literary context. Then you want to write out your passage that it was meant for the biblical audience. Write out what you feel was meant for the biblical audience. And you're going to use past tense because it happened way back when. Verbs, and you use past tense verbs, for the biblical audience. Be specific. For example, God commanded the Israelites in Joshua 1 to what? You fill in the blank. Jesus encouraged his disciples by what did he do? How did Paul talk to the Ephesians? And he'd fill it in. So be specific in how you write your comments in this first step. Let me fly through these slides real quick for you, just so you get a gist of what we're talking about. Understanding the Bible using consistent approach, pointing to the Bible and picking out a phrase, using devotions are great ideas. There's all kinds of different study methods out there, and all of them are great. All of them are great. The one that I'm going to teach you really helps you to understand the Bible yourself. But that's the first thing. Secondly, when reading and understanding the Bible, consider the journey. Consider the journey. And we'll be talking specifically about that journey today. Okay? And the goal of that journey, first of all, is to travel across the river. And I mentioned to you that river of differences, that barrier that's between us in this present day and in the biblical audience in their day. Okay? We're going to be transporting the text from their world to our world. And then lastly, want to lead us on a valid understanding and application of the text in our time, because we need to apply the Word of God. And so how do we apply what was for them in the biblical days to us today? Okay? Let's start with step one. Grasping the text in their town. Grasping the text in their town. Okay? But before we do that, I want to make sure we understand who we're talking about. We're talking about the biblical audience. That is who is important. The little guy you see circled on the road coming out of the town, he is what's important as you read the Bible. Because, again, the Bible was written for specifically him, his time, his day, his situation, his people, God, for a person to write it for them. It was important that you understand who he was. Well, let's just think about it for a second. Who is this biblical audience that we're talking about? First of all, the biblical audience was many different nationalities and different races. They were all from the Middle East. They were agrarian, mostly raising crops, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. So they had a different perspective on life. They were merchants traveling in caravans and on merchant ships. Okay. They had various cultures and practices, many of which we don't understand today because they were based on paganism. Many served many religions and practices and customs that we don't even understand. Many of them are mentioned in the Bible, but you have to study them in order to know what they are. Many of them were slaves or had slaves from various nations and tribes. Women were seen and treated differently than our women of today. They had different marriages and customs and rituals in their marriages. They were ruled by many different types of governments, not different than they are now, but there were many more kings, many more barbaric environments or nations and cultures. It was a dusty, dirty world as we know it, where water was scarce, but wine was plentiful. So when we see them drinking wine in the Bible, there's a reason for it. They didn't have purified water. This is our biblical audience that we're talking about. So as you read, understand that they are a different people, different situation for them all together. These differences form a river. A river. Customs, culture, language. All of these things separate us from the people. There's a difference between them and us. Okay? Well, let me explain to you this river so that you get a bigger picture. This river is really important. And if you can see the image of the river and understand it, then it will help you a lot. Okay, let's be practical now. Let's look at it. There is a river between you and the other side. You need to travel from point A on the side that you're on, which happens to be the biblical audience's side, and you're traveling over to our side, our world, our time. How am I going to get there? Well, this river that flows between us of customs, language, culture, time, covenant even is different, keeps us from understanding everything that we need to understand in order to apply God's word on our side. Well, let's look at it logically, real. All right, here's the water, and it's moving, it's flowing. Some rivers move fast, some move slow. If you've ever seen the Rio Grande, in certain spots, you can walk across from point A to point B, no problem, and your feet will be a little wet, but not much. And there are other parts of the Rio Grande River which are very wide and very deep, so you need to swim to the other side. Well, there are different ways to get across these rivers based on their size, based on the what's flowing in them, the obstructions that are there, etc. Same as studying the Word of God. There are some differences in there that can cause you some issues. Okay, so how do I get to the other side? Well, one way is I can walk. I mentioned it. I can walk across. But if it's too deep, then I can wind up drowning. I could wind up not getting to the other point that I want to get to. In other words, getting to what God intended his scriptures to tell us. I can wind up in a different point down the river, on the other side, but down the river, on the wrong side. Or I could even have to go back again and swim back to the side I was on and never get to the other side. I could drown, meaning that I'm so overwhelmed by the information that's in the Bible. There's no way I can read this. There's no way I can understand it. I'm not even going to attempt it. So I don't even get in the water. I could swim. I could be a good, strong swimmer. But the tide and the current of all these different things in the river, the customs, the language, the things that I don't understand, the things that aren't meant for me, I could still wind up swimming to the other side, but I'm further down the river in the wrong location, and I have no idea where I am. So swimming is not a good idea. I could use a boat. I could equate that boat to using help. Somebody said, well, Elder, I'd just fly over. I'd just get a plane and fly over. Well, once again, you're getting over by using help, such as using external resources that are not the Bible, someone else's commentaries, someone else's handbook. Some of you are familiar with those. They do have good information. They have great information. They have wonderful information, but they should be used as a resource. They should be used to help fill in what you already learned by reading the Word of God for yourself, help you to confirm that. Okay, so a boat's a great idea, but once again, it's someone else's help to get you to the other side. And by the way, boats have a tendency to drift downstream as well. So you still may not wind up at the point where God wants you to be. So, what's one of the best ways to get across? A bridge. A bridge is stationary, it's solid, it's in place. So to get across the river of differences, We need a bridge. This step is our most challenging step to build the principle, theological principle. Big word for something that's very simple. These differences form this river. We need to build this bridge to get across the other side. So how do we do this? How do we build a principalizing bridge so that we can walk comfortably from one side of the river to where God needs us to be on the other side and understand what he has for us? A theological principle, let's break it down into its parts. Theos, from the Greek word meaning God, leading to the Latin word theology. It's the study and nature of God and religious belief. Okay, that's pretty simple enough. Then we take a look at the next word, principle. Principle. It's a moral rule or belief that helps you know what is right and wrong, and that influences your action. It's a basic truth or theory. And then lastly, it's a law or fact of nature that explains how something works or why something happens. I'll give you, for instance, here. Gravity. Gravity is a law. There's a law of gravity. Someone has determined to call it a law of gravity. Well, how do you know there is a law of gravity? Well, when you stand up on a roof and you jump off, then gravity, the law, takes place and you fall. But wait a minute. In the Word of God, during Jesus' time in the wilderness, he was taken up on the mountaintop and he was told, throw yourself off. Wouldn't God provide you angels to help guide you down? Well, God is in control of the law. He's the one who made the law. If he decides he wants to break the law, he certainly may. But God's law holds strong in everything that there is, and that includes in nature as well. Okay, just keep that in mind. The theological principle is part of the meaning. That's real important for you to understand. Let's take a break here for a second. Let's talk about meaning. We talked about letters and writing the letters and what the individual who wrote that letter means. So when you're studying the Word of God, you're going through a Bible study, or someone says, read this passage and tell me what you think it means. First of all, there's an issue there. I can't think it means anything. I have to read it and understand it and then determine what God intended me to get from this, what God meant, not what I meant. Because as we read the Bible, if we misinterpret, if we miss that first step and we don't do our observation very well, then we can misinterpret what is meant in the text. So what it means is what God intended it to mean. So the right approach is, let me read the text and find out what God is telling us. Okay, that's the meaning. Our task is to discover that meaning, not to create it. Because the intended author is God, and he meant it a specific way. Okay, just keep that in mind as we're going through. It's true that God gives specific instructions to specific biblical audience. He's also given universal theological teachings to all his people throughout all time. So the theological approach to build that bridge must hold true. First things we need to do, if I may, taking a look at my notes here, we're to review the differences that we identified earlier and then identify some similarities. We know the differences. It's easy to figure those out. We're not like the biblical audience. Then we take a look at the similarities. What is similar between the two of us? There are similarities, definitely. Then we return back to that normal meaning, that meaning that we found about the biblical audience, described that we described earlier, and we figure out a theological principle that we need to say is, it works then, and it works now. It is not based on situation, It is not based on circumstances. Let's go through that process through our notes real quick. It should be reflected in the text. In other words, we should see it in the text. It should be timeless. Should be timeless and not tied to a specific situation. It should not be bound by a particular culture. Should not be based on a culture. Women should not wear men's clothing. We've heard that before in the Bible. But hang on one second. In those days, they wore tunic types and robes. Everyone did. So women were not supposed to wear the robes that the men wore? I'm missing something. But a close study shows us that it was a cultural thing. It was based that women should not appear like men. And that's what it was talking about. So that's a cultural thing. So if you base your theological principle on that, then it's misrepresenting what God has for his people. It should correspond to the teaching of the rest of the scripture. Catch up with myself. It should correspond to the teaching of the rest of the scripture. Okay? And it should be relevant to both the biblical audience and our contemporary audience. That's a theological principle. And I know this seems a little obscure, but it is one of the most important and, like I said, the most challenging step in the whole process. Is figuring out how do I get across this river and what is the principle that I use. And we'll see that later as we begin to study it. It becomes very clear to us. And that's that last step. Should be relevant to both the biblical audience and the contemporary audience as well. So, now that we've done step three, step four is the principle. Is it consistent with the rest of the Bible? Is it consistent with the rest of the Bible? Meaning, I don't find a theological principle and understand it, and then I find out that nowhere else in the Bible is this same principle taught. God doesn't speak to it. God doesn't reveal it. God doesn't say it again. God doesn't put people through it again, and it doesn't seem to follow. Then something might be wrong with my theological principle. Coming across that bridge. So it should be consistent with the rest of the Bible. Okay? So step four, you want to consult the biblical map. Well, what does that mean, Elder? It means that I will do my research and I will find other circumstances in the Bible that make sense. And we're going to use an example. For instance, in Joshua 1:1-9, God tells him to be courageous. Well, is there any other places in the Bible that God has told people to be courageous? Are there times when God has told people not to fear, not to be afraid? Okay, those are the types of things that we're talking about. Is the principle consistent with the rest of the Bible? And also, in step four, it's just you need to take a look at yourself and look at where you are in the biblical map. And find out if it refers to you or if these are things that you need. Because if you find out through the course of your life that you've done some things over and over again and those principles apply to you, then my goodness, you've learned quite a bit and God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. This requires cross-referencing within the Bible. It's a practice that if you haven't done it before, and learning how to use your index and learning how to use your other parts of the Bible. And then later on, we'll talk about other resources that you throw in there to help you out, to assist you in moving through the Bible. But this does require a lot of cross-referencing and the study on your part. And you say, well, Elder, why can't I use the internet and other resources? Well, you absolutely can. And we're going to teach you how to use those as you go through. But first, we need to teach you how to see the Word of God for yourself and be able to determine what it is that you are reading. And we'll discuss those at a later time. Step five. We now must grapple with how we should handle the principle in our own town or our own time. Because now we've moved across the bridge. We understand the principle. We understand what was meant for the biblical audience. Now, how do I apply that to my life today? How do I change? Because that's what the Word of God's supposed to do. It's supposed to change our lives, change our heart, change our mind, change our lives for the better. And someone we can depend on, someone we know is there. But you can't know him if you haven't read his word, if you don't know his word, if you're always depending on someone to tell you his word, if you're always depending on something to see, to say, this is what God's word is. How about getting it firsthand from God and learning what he wants from you? How does this apply in real life situations today? That is step five. Now, notice, I want to show you something interesting in my illustration that we picked out here. Notice that you'll see people moving in different streets, different roads, multiple people. That's because although the theological principle is relevant for everyone, the use and application of it may vary for anyone. It could take different roads. We all will see that application differently. Notice the application being different. Not the meaning of the scripture, but the application for your specific lives and the changes that you go through. You may take a different route altogether than someone else, but yet the application of God's word is consistent and always the same. So step five, grasping the text in our town or our time. Okay? In our town or our time. Okay, so I ran you through the interpretive journey, understanding, if I could, just recapping some things for you. Step one was grasping the text in their time. Very important, very important. Grasping the text in their time. If you don't understand the biblical audience and what they were going through, you can't understand the word of God because it was given to them specifically for a time, a situation, by a specific person. Very important. Grasping the text in their time. Step two, measure the width of the river to cross. Measure the width of the river to cross. How wide is that river? Is it based on the language of the people? Is it based on a custom? Is it a situation of a custom? Is it based on time or covenant? These are the things that you need to consider when you look at the width of the river. Some cases you will come up against the river and you'll say, oh, this is an easy one. I can walk across. I'll hop across this one. Not a problem at all. I understand the word of God. I got it. Not a problem. Then you'll go right back to it and read it months later, and oh my goodness, that theological principle just grew. And now I see it even more clearly. So now it's not even a river. So, and vice versa. Sometimes you may say, oh, I misinterpreted this. Let me read this again. Wow, there's more here than I saw. And this is what the inductive study method does for you. It makes you challenge yourself in reading the Word of God, reading it. Step two is measure the width of the river to cross. Step three, constructing and crossing the principalizing bridge. Very important. Again, one of the most challenging things you can do in creating this is that principalizing bridge, coming up with that theory, that theology. Very important. Step four, consult the biblical map. Consult the biblical map. Is there any other cross-references, anything else in the Bible that tells me that what I have discovered for myself is in line with God's word? You know, before when we studied the word of God, we had two questions that the study in the Bible answered for us. When we said, why do I study the Bible? I study for two reasons. One, so I know what I believe about my faith. That's number one. I study so that I know what I believe about my faith. Secondly, I study so that I know the will of God. Well, any other questions you can ask all comes under one of those two. I study so that I know what I believe about my faith, and I study so that I know the will of God. Well, in studying, when you consult your biblical map, you want to be in line with the will of God. And you want to be in line so that you know why you believe what you believe. That's the purpose of studying. So in understanding this, the biblical map, you can understand that what you believe and the will of God come into play. Lastly, application. Applying and grasping the text in our time, in our town. What do I do with the word? Now that I've got it, I'm responsible for it, Lord. How does this apply to my life? And it may not be a situation that applies to you right now, but I guarantee at some time in your life, it will apply to you or someone you know that you can help with. So understanding that last step, how do I apply it to my life? That's the whole purpose of reading the Bible, so that I may be in line with the will of God. And in learning to do that, I have to know how to apply it. One of the things that you ask yourself, and I had mentioned to you that the journey is an exciting journey, but it's a hard journey because it takes time to study this way. You just can't pick up the Bible, read a few verses, and then understand what God has for you. Yeah, in some cases it's easy because you go through that process real quick. And other times you need to slow down and read. So how do I effectively travel the journey? How do I make that happen? Well, you have to tell yourself, the first thing you have to do, you have to slow down. We read too fast. We pick up the Bible, we read a few verses, and then we start trying to meditate and deliberate on it. And then we're good to go. We go on to the next verses. Oh, I got it. I read my devotion. I read the scriptures that they gave me for my devotion. Now I can move on. But stop and read it again. Read over it one more time. And then when you've read it one more time, read it again. Look at the words in the scripture. Look at the key words, because there'll be some key words that are mentioned over and over again. There are some thoughts that are real important. And in fact, they may mention that thought maybe a second time. And if God speaks something more than once, then you better believe it is important to him. There's meaning to it. So as you read through, read it over and over and over again until you really thoroughly understand what's going on. And it doesn't stop there. We'll learn later on. Because sometimes you will have to read previous verses, and then sometimes you will have to read further on to get the true meaning of what verses and scriptures you just read. So those are some of the things that we need to take a look at. Be effective. Be willing to slow down. Be willing to slow down, reading it over and over and over again. We're going to use the Bible as your primary source. Try to find the answer to your questions. We'll get to that too later. In the Bible. See if you can figure out in the verses that you're reading, in the scriptures that you're tasked to handle. Find the answers within the text, your primary source. Lastly, most importantly, personally interact with the scripture. Now, we're not there yet, but in our next lesson, I'll teach you the questions to ask yourself and something we call interrogating the text. As you read it, you're going to go feel like you're going back to school again, back to that grammar class or English, whichever one it was, and you're going to ask yourself who, what, when, where, why, and how. And you're going to do it for a myriad of questions over and over and over again. And as you do that, you'll begin to dissect the text in detail, and then you'll be looking for answers within the text, in the scriptures themselves. Well, that brings us to the end of this journey at this time. Next time, we're going to practice the interpretive journey, using Joshua 1 and 1 and 9. We're going to look through that, and we're going to take ourselves through the interpretive journey to see if we can pull out the parts that we need to. You'll see how it works. And then I'm going to introduce you to the inductive study method. I'm pulling up my notes. I'm going to introduce you to the inductive study method. And we're going to look at what empowers the people of God to live in excellence through outreach, teaching, and fellowship. Guarantee. Before COVID, we conducted Sunday study at Rhema every fourth Sunday, as Pastor mentioned. And when I first introduced or was allowed to introduce this method to our people, to those members and partners to learn, they begin to grasp the Word of God in a way that I was surprised. And of course, I shouldn't be, because God is in control. And I watch people grow as they begin to learn to read the Word of God for themselves. And they began to ask questions of the Word, and they began to come back with their own answers from it in reading the Word. My mother-in-law was one of our biggest students and one of my faithful students, and she would love to study Word. And every time she would learn something new, or every time she read something over and over again, and all of a sudden, now she's reading it differently and she sees it differently, I watch her eyes light up, and she would get, you would see the excitement all over her face from reading the Word of God. And this is what it does for you. So it helps you to see what God has for us. So in our next Sunday lesson, we're going to be talking again, going about the inductive study method. And it's where I teach you the three steps. And these are actual steps: observation, interpretation, and application. You will hear that over and over and over again. And some of you may have been familiar with the inductive study method, but I'm here to tell you that it does work. It helps you to see things that you've never saw before. For those of you who read the Bible over and over again, I guarantee you will still learn something new. For those of you who are new to reading the Bible and want to learn to read the Bible, it is the perfect way to start in understanding who God is and what He wants us to do. In other words, what do I believe about my faith and how do I know the will of God? It's in the Bible. It is there. So that concludes our session for this day, this time. And on our next lesson, we'll cover that on our fourth Sunday, in April, if I get that correctly. And Pastor's coming back. But before we do that, let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to speak to Your people, Lord God. We thank You, O Father, that they came with open hearts and open ears to learn how to better study Your Word. Father, we don't shun studying the Word of God, but it would help to know what it is that we're looking for and to be able to hear Your Word as You speak to us through ages and centuries of different writers and authors, Lord God, all with one purpose: to tell us who the Son of God is, who You are, and what we are to do with our lives, Father. We thank You, God, for this time. We ask a blessing upon the people for the rest of this week, Lord God. And we say amen and amen. Pastor's coming. Prepare your hearts. If you're not one of the number of Christ, be prepared to ask for salvation. He gives it freely.
Hallelujah. 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 Word of God says, but because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him, Jesus Christ, His Son, from the dead, the Word of God says you will be saved. We extend to you who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. At this time, we extend that welcome to you. And having heard Elder with the teaching about discover the Word of God, Listen, discover him for yourself. Get into that word. But we extend now for those who may listen to this word, this broadcast, this podcast, who may listen and not be sure and very sure. Listen, Christ said, come as you are. You don't have to wait till you're a certain age to come. Don't try to wait until you feel like you're doing better to come. Because when you come, he will make you better. He will cause you to say, create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. And renew a right spirit in me. To be renewed means that there was already some God there. Come on. So we extend to you an invitation to the kingdom of God right now. If you're not saved and you want to be saved, pray this prayer with us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask forgiveness for my sin. I repent that I am a sinner, God, and I want to be saved by grace. God, I give you my heart. Your word says if I confess it with my mouth, and I do confess the Lord Jesus, says if I believe in my heart, God, cause my heart to flutter in belief right now. Your word says, if I believe that you, God, raised your son Christ from the dead, your word says I'm saved. And I receive my salvation, God. I give my life to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody is praying that prayer of salvation right now. Thank you, Lord. If you've just received Christ for your first time, or you had fallen away and you've come back and you need support, you can messenger us. You can drop us a name, a number. You can send us a message through our messenger on Facebook. Please reach out. Reach out. Reach out. We're here for you, and we'll be here for you. We'll pray with you, and we'll pray you through. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a praise for Elder this morning. Those of you who are still here, just do some hearts. Hit some of those heart emojis. Do some hand claps. Amen. We just thank God for the word this morning. Amen. And if you are blessed by the word, he's coming back. Our Sunday study is usually the fourth Sundays, and we're trying to get back into that mode that every fourth Sunday, we don't do what they call Sunday school every Sunday, but we do that Sunday study, and the Elder's going to be back here next fourth Sunday unless God moves me to say, Elder, you coming sooner than that, amen, but we want you to be prepared to learn, and you're going to gain so much. I promise you, you're going to gain so much from the Word of God, about the Word of God, and learn how to study that Word for yourselves. Amen. We give God glory. If we've been a blessing to you this morning, we ask that you would go to our RhemaCFChurch.org, amen.com, and that you would consider being a blessing to us, amen, so that we are be able to be a blessing to others. We also have Rhema Cash App now, Rhema CFM, $RhemaCFM, to be a blessing. For those of you who have continued to support us, be it in your presence, be it monetarily, be it in your prayers, we thank God for you, and especially you. Amen. So give God a praise right now. If we are being a blessing to you, we need to be able to continue to function and to go forward and to be a blessing to others. At Rhema, we are about outreach, teaching, and fellowship. Amen. Living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Please find us on YouTube. Amen. Find us. We're asking all of our faithful listeners, even if you're here with us on Facebook, we're asking that you go to YouTube, find Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, and that you would subscribe, amen, to help us build up our ministry there, that people may get this word. Don't keep it to yourselves. Amen. Go to YouTube and find us on YouTube. Amen. One more reminder. Don't forget to join me, Pastor Carzadine, for our 9 for 9 on Mondays and Thursdays, 9 o'clock a.m. for 9 minutes of prayer, praise, worship, time for a word of worship. And we ask that you support us. You can find us on my Facebook page, Cars in Christ, Facebook.com. And you can find us on Rhema's page, amen, where you're finding us right now. We haven't pushed that word out to YouTube as of yet, but right now we're staying 9 for 9 on Facebook. We want to hear from you. Drop us a message. Drop us a note. You don't have to give a whole lot. Just say a good morning to us when you're there with us. Give us a love or a like. And we just want you to, we're asking that you share the word of God. Please share the videos as they come forth. Share that message from this morning so that other people may become interested in learning more of how to learn the word of God. Amen. For those of you who joined us this morning, to God be the glory. We bless him for your lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of worship, this time of study, this time of learning. We ask you to bless the people of God as we leave from this broadcast, but never from your presence. We ask you to keep us and to cover us and to remind us on a daily basis, God, that every person we meet is a prospective soul for the kingdom of God. Amen and God bless. We will see you next Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed by the life-changing word from Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry. Rhema is located at 2106 Bonnabelle Avenue, Savannah, Georgia, 31406. Join us for worship service at 9:45 each Sunday morning. God bless.